Well, we've been reading books to Shannon lately, and some of the books talk about, they're older books. They are books about people in the 1800s, and I was struck by some of the things that we were reading about how they prepared for their Sabbath day worship, and what they were allowed to do, what they weren't allowed to do on Sabbath day, and their Sabbaths started Saturday night, so Saturday evening at sundown, they would start their preparation for the Lord's Day worship, and it would go until Sunday evening. But they weren't allowed to play with certain things, they weren't allowed to read certain things, there were a whole list of things that they weren't allowed to do, and while that may seem legalistic to some of us, I think there's a principle there that we can take and apply to our preparation for coming to worship on the Lord's Day. A couple of weeks ago, Carl preached and taught on listening to the message, listening in an expository way or expository listening. And we had both talked about teaching on that subject because I had read a book called Expository Listening from Ken Ramey, and some of this material is from that book. And I also read a book called How to Survive Your Pastor's Sermons by Robert Spinney. So I did not read that book because I was having difficulty surviving Carl's sermons, but I saw the book on the shelf while we were at the Shepherd's Conference at their bookstore, and I said, you know what, that looks like a book that I have to read just because of the title, because someone may ask me someday, hey, I'm really having a hard time paying attention, and I need to have something to tell them other than something harsh. But if you will turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. I wanted to do a quick follow-up on Carl's sermon and just give some practical instruction for preparing for Sunday and for listening on Sunday and just how to get more out of the preaching on Sunday. And so this comes out of not my perfect practice or my, it doesn't come from anything other than me reading these books and being convicted about my own preparation and my own heart on Sunday mornings and my own propensity to be distracted, and knowing that since we are all human, I'm probably not the only one who struggles with that. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to read from verse 4 through verse 21. This is actually a whole section, even though in your Bibles it may be broken up. It's the parable of the sower. And when a crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has, that will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." God bless the reading of his word. Let's ask his blessing on our time. Father, thank you for your word. We want to hear your word. We want to understand it and apply it, Father. Help us as we go through this time, Father, so that our time of hearing your sermons, hearing your word preached, would be profitable. And whatever help this can be, Father, multiply it in Christ's name. Amen. So, Jesus tells us here in this parable, at the end of this parable, after he explains it, take care how you hear. We're to pay attention to how we listen to his word being preached, his word being given to us. And that is because there is a propensity, and we know from James chapter 1 and other places, that there's a propensity for us as human beings, with so many distractions and so many things going on, to hear the word of God and to have our mind someplace else, or to hear the word of God and say amen and then walk out the doors and completely forget what we just heard. And since I think that I'm probably not the only one, I'll admit that there are times when from one week to the next, I can't remember what was preached on the week before. Usually it's because we're either changing books or there was a topical message rather than going through the book sort of point by point. But that happens because we have busy lives, we have distractions, we have cares, we have a multitude of things that go on that vie for our attention and vie for our memory and are calling us away from the Word of God. So in this, I just wanted to give six kind of practical steps to making the sermons more profitable for us. And I'll list out those steps here. The first one is practical preparation. And that is, I'll explain all these here in a minute. The first one is practical preparation. The second one is preparing your heart to hear from God. The third is determined to listen to the Word of God preached regardless of the preacher's skill or style. Number four is listen as if your life depends on it. Number five is ruminate on what you've heard. And number six is respond to it. And the first point, practical preparation, has to do with preparing on Saturday for Sunday. A lot of us who, when I was working. If I had something going on Monday, you can bet that on Sunday night I was probably preparing for it. If I had a meeting with the chief or if I had a meeting with one of the bosses, I was going to prepare for it. If I had court, as my wife can attest to, I was getting my, making sure that my suit was ready, my shoes were shined, I had a tie and a clean shirt to go. And quite often we don't give any thought to what we are going to wear Sunday morning until we get up in the morning, Sunday morning, and we stand in front of the closet and say, okay, what am I going to wear this morning? And then you go downstairs to the kitchen, you say, what am I going to eat for breakfast? Coffee is pretty much a given, but anything else? I might not be sure. Do I have enough time to make eggs? Do I have enough, you know, all of those kinds of things. But the point is that we can be preparing that on Saturday night. And we can be thinking about those things Saturday night. Getting to bed on time. Able to wake refreshed early Sunday morning so that you're ready to go, so that you're not groggy and kind of moving slowly. Laying out your clothes or at least deciding what you're going to wear. Pre-make breakfast as a possibility. Choose your Saturday evening activities wisely. Are you going to be going to the movies on Saturday night with the friends and staying out until 11 or 12 o'clock? Are you going to be, what are you going to be watching? What kind of books are you going to be reading? Are these things conducive to preparing your heart to hear from the Lord on Sunday morning? And we need to consider these things because Sunday, when we hear from God, we don't want the word to be sown among thorns. We want our heart to be prepared. Consider your own heart and the heart of others in your household. You know, be relationally responsible in how you treat one another, in how you let things bother you or you don't let things bother you. And this can be difficult, especially in a family where people are going and, you know, getting dressed and something didn't go exactly my way, so now I'm upset and that makes everyone else upset. Consider those things. And that's convicting for me because I can tend to get frustrated when certain things aren't in order, especially on Sunday morning or if I know I have to get someplace. Be relationally responsible. Cultivate an atmosphere of worship and readiness to hear from God. We are all responsible for one another, whether it's when you come in the doors here with other folks here or in your own household. That may mean you have to work harder at getting ready to so that you're not late for the person who kind of gets a little bit bent out of shape if you're cutting it too close. Or being a little bit long-suffering with someone who does tend to get dressed a little bit more slowly or what have you. But these are practical things. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21 says, walk in wisdom toward one another. And it says, at the end of that passage, addressing one another in spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that applies to Sunday morning when we are getting ready to go, when you're getting ready to go, submitting to one another and recognizing that you may be responsible for this other person not being ready to hear from the Word of God. And that there's so much strife that when the Word of God is preached, it is falling among thorns. So keep that in mind. You know, farmers spend winter. We used to joke that farmers in the town that I grew up in spent the winter on vacation because nothing grew in the winter. But actually, they, other than taking a short vacation, they did spend the winter preparing everything for spring work, preparing everything for the coming year, looking forward to what was going to happen during the year. What were they going to need? How much seed were they going to need? What fields were they going to plant? What equipment needs to be fixed? You know, they spent that time getting ready to prepare the ground, getting ready to plant, and all of those things in the wintertime. The next is to prepare your heart to hear from God. And we hear people talk about harrowing your heart. And the harrow is a short type of a plow that breaks up the ground. And that's what farmers do in spring work. In spring work, they go out and they cultivate the soil. They break up the ground and they prepare it to receive the seed and the water and the fertilizer to make the seed grow. And that's what we need to be doing before we hear from the Word of God, is cultivating the ground, because we want the Word of God to hit ground, ready to take seed and ready to give growth. Pre-commit, under the second point, preparing your heart to hear from God, we need to have a mindset where we are pre-committed to believing and obeying and applying God's word as it is set forth in the message. Realize that you may hear a message from me or Carl or from somebody else who speaks that may not necessarily be delivered to your liking, but look for the message within that and God's word, and be pre-committed in your mind to believing and applying and obeying God's word as it is given. I'm going to look quickly at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, it says, starting in verse 1, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as it came to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united with faith," because they were not united with faith, by faith with those who listened. "For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." We need to have our hearts preconditioned to believe what we hear from God's word. That doesn't mean that we are not Bereans and don't search the scriptures, but we are not primarily judges of the word or judges of the preacher when the preacher is preaching. That's not the primary job of the listener. While the scripture does say that we are to test everything with the word, the weight of instruction is to believe God's word when it is preached faithfully. To believe it, to apply it, and to obey it. We must also believe, 2 Timothy 2:16 through 17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for reproof, correction, training, and righteousness, to equip us for every good work." So we need to come with the attitude and with the preset mind that we are going to say, I want to believe this. I do believe God's word. I want to be upright. I want to be trained. I want to be mature. I want to be equipped for the work that God has given me. So I will believe and obey what the Lord is calling me to, even if it's difficult for me to hear. Point number 3 is determined to listen regardless of the preacher's skill. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, he says very clearly that he was not necessarily taken seriously by all who heard him because of his oratory skills. In a time in the first century when orators were a big thing and people would go as a form of entertainment to hear people talk, not necessarily that they agreed with everything they said, but because of their eloquence, they would go as a form of entertainment to listen to them, to hear Paul speak. Many people said that he was not eloquent at all and he was not worth listening to. He says in 2 Corinthians 10:10, "For they say his," quoting, speaking of Paul's, "letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech of no account." But Paul is saying that his message is the simple message of the cross. And it is with power from the Spirit. So we have to recognize that when the Word of God is preached, even though it may not be packaged in a way that is entertaining for us to hear, to the extent that it is the faithfully preached Word of God, we need to listen and take it to heart and obey it. If you're thirsty enough, if you're in the desert and you're thirsty enough, you will drink water out of a boot. You'll drink water out of, even Carl will drink water out of a cup that someone else has used, if he's thirsty enough. So, remember that you can be fed through uneloquent teaching. Paul came teaching Christ crucified, while the Spirit of God worked powerfully in the hearts of those who heard. It wasn't necessarily eloquent, but it was empowered by the Holy Spirit because it was the Word of God. Number four, listen as if your life depended on it. Think of the analogy of a boat. You're on a cruise ship and the cruise ship is going down. You're on the Titanic and you haven't seen any of the lifeboats. They're covered. Bunch of contraptions around them. And you know the captain comes across on an intercom and tells you the ship is going down. It's sinking. Listen, I'm going to give you instructions for how to get into lifeboats and how to use them so that you can get to safety. You're probably going to be listening very closely. If you don't know anything about lifeboats and you go and you jump into one of those lifeboats after having not listened to him and you're jumping into the lifeboat and the oar is in there and it's in your way, you may throw the oar out because you don't really know what it's for and you have no use for it because it's getting in your way, or the thing that ties the lifeboat up, you release it and the lifeboat falls down onto the deck instead of in the water. It is very important for us to listen when our life depends on it. And with regard to the preaching of God's Word, our life does depend upon it. In John chapter 6, when Jesus was telling the people about his body being the bread from heaven and his blood being true drink, many of his disciples were kind of scratching their head and just turned away and walked away from him. And he looked at his 12 and he said, "Do you want to go away too?" Peter said, "Where are we going to go? This is a hard teaching. Remember that they have been told you never eat anything with its blood. And now Jesus is telling them, you're going to drink my blood. My blood is something you're going to..." And they're going, "This is strange." But they said, "Christ is telling us this. Where else are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. So maybe I don't like the message. Maybe it's uncomfortable or it may run me the wrong way. Maybe I don't want to be in the lifeboat with certain people. Maybe I don't want to be, but I still..." That's the way of life, is to hear God's word. And we need to lean in when we are hearing the word of God. We need to be engaged. We need to be, whether that means taking notes so that you don't have to let your mind wander. That's one of the things that I do sometimes when I find my mind wandering, is I will bring the notebook out and I will start writing notes on what I'm listening to so that I can keep my mind engaged in that. If it is, if there's something else that works for you, then do that. But we need to fight to hear from God. Okay, number five. After we hear the message, we need to ruminate on it. Most people over the age of 30 probably know what ruminate means. Some may not, but think about a ruminant animal, cows, sheep. They chew their cud. They're called ruminant animals because they chew their cud. What it is they eat grass that they can't digest. So it goes into one stomach and it starts to ferment. And then they chew on it while it ferments so that their body can digest it. That's their cud. That's why they're called ruminant animals. And that's why when we talk about ruminating on something, it's mulling it over in your mind, chewing on the cud. You need to chew on it for a while. You go home. If that means talking about it with your spouse, talking about it with your brother or your sister, your mom or your dad or your kids, talk about it, but mull it over. Philippians 4:1. My Bible's falling apart, so. Philippians chapter 4, 1 through 9, it says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord." Was this really what I was going with? Oh, yes. Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Okay, this is not exactly where I was thinking. Verse 8, thank you. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." I remember why I was reading the first part. Let me go back. "Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on to tell them, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just. You know, I used to think about that. And I think, you know, the things that I think are lovely are trees and mountains and streams and lakes and things like that. And I want to dwell on those things. He says, whatever is pure, dwell on these things. Okay, those things are pure in a sense. I want to dwell on those things. No, he's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about us being in Christ and the instruction from the Word. Dwell on these things. These are the things that are worthy. These are the things that are true. We need to dwell on these things and mold them over in our minds. As when we've heard the message, ask yourself, what did I learn? Where do I fall short? Back to that 1 Timothy passage of all scriptures God breathed, profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God would be mature and equipped for every good work. What did I learn? This is something to ask yourself after you've heard the message. That's teaching. What did I learn? Where do I fall short? That's reproof. What should I do about it? That's correction. And how can I put this into practice and change my thinking on this? Or maybe it's not something that I'm supposed to practice. Maybe it's just an understanding of God that's been preached on, theology or a doctrine. How can I change my thinking to be in line with God's Word? putting these things in practice, that is training in righteousness. And of course, talking about it. And number six is the obvious: respond to it by doing the word. Believe it or not, this is also part of listening. Remember, he says in Luke chapter 8, after he says that those who received the word, were the soil was tilled, and he says that those who have been given, or those who have, will be given more. And so when we take God's word and we apply it and we start walking out in it and we live it, God gives us more. You know, you want to be matured, you want to be changed, be more like Christ, start walking out in obedience to the things that God has called you to from the messages that you've heard. And as you do that on a weekly basis, God will give you more from the preaching. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25, he says, don't want to misquote him. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious," I'll stop there. Be a doer of the word. Remember also in Hebrews chapter 4, we talk about those who heard the word, but it did not profit them. If you read the book of Ezekiel, the men, the Israelite men would come to Ezekiel regularly to hear from Ezekiel. And Ezekiel would give these long prophecies. He would give these prophetic judgments that the Lord was giving him on Israel for Israel's disobedience. But these men would continually come, and Ezekiel would continually tell them what the Lord was going to do because of their disobedience. But they would go away and heed nothing of it. And for that reason, the judgment of God came upon them, because all they wanted to do is come and hear. They didn't want to put anything into practice. They didn't want to repent. All they wanted to do is listen to Ezekiel's oratory skills, or maybe listen to someone that they thought was interesting or bizarre or something like that. I don't know why they didn't listen to them, other than that they were sinful in their hearts and they were unrepentant and had no faith. But they would listen and then go and not be doers of the word. So that is a warning to us. 1 John chapter 1, John says that we know we have come to know Christ if we keep his commandments. And John 14, Jesus tells his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So we need to be putting what we hear into practice as well. So just a recap of those 6 points, and they are practical preparation, your Saturday night preparation, preparing physically for getting to chapel in an undisheveled, unstressful way, and treating the rest of the members of your household with respect, relationally, so that when you get to chapel, when you get here to worship with the church, you're in a frame of mind to receive the Word of God and to worship God together with your brothers and sisters. Also preparing your heart to hear from God, and that is, you know, doing the work of cultivating your heart and pre-committing yourself to believing, applying, and obeying what God tells you in the message on Sunday morning. Listening, number three, determined to listen regardless of the preacher's skill or style. Listen, number four, listen as if your life depends upon it. Number five, ruminate or chew on the message afterwards. Think about it, mull it over in your mind. And number six, respond. Put it into practice. Those are just some practical points to help make the preaching of God's Word stick, make it more profitable. Those are not an exhaustive list, and possibly if I was to spend more time on this, I might combine some of those, might add some, might take some out, might do it differently. It's not meant to be a comprehensive study on listening, but hopefully it's helpful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We ask your blessing on our time as we come together to hear your word preached and read. We ask that you would send your spirit to work in our hearts to make us more like Christ, to change us and to conform us to the image of our Savior. Father, we can't do this unless we hear your word rightly, unless our hearts are ready to accept your word and believe it and obey it. And Father, as we walk out in faith and obey your word, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's difficult, even if it means shedding our pride in certain areas, or giving up our rights, whatever it means, Father, as we walk out in obedience, Father, bless us and grow us and mature us and allow us to see that fruit mature in Christ's name. Amen.